You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Good evening. It's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be able to stand behind the sacred desk just to know what the Lord has done at this church. I had the opportunity to come here back in 2009, and I didn't really get to visit the college prior to that. I just came by faith. To be honest, I never really prayed much about college. I wish I had that testimony. I trusted my parents, and I wanted to learn, develop more my musical ability and skills and things like that. And you know, right away, my dad spoke to someone who immediately said, you know what, I know just the place. And since then, it's been a huge blessing to my life, to my whole family. I met my wife here in the state. I don't know what I would have done without God's leading my parents. And I want to thank you and also congratulate our church on the 50-year anniversary. Such a privilege. Thank you, North Valley Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor Mrs. Treiber. Without Mrs. Treiber, Pastor has mentioned it many times, there is no North Valley. Without any North Valley, there is no Golden State Baptist College. And without Golden State Baptist College, I would not be here today. So thank you to the members, everybody. Each one, I know there's some of the college professors I got to sit in and into the classes, and I know some of them are probably thinking in their minds, oh boy, this is the guy we figured would barely make it if he did. And by God's grace, we're here tonight. My wife is here, and she was supposed to be in the nursery tonight. I said, that's okay, have somebody substitute, have somebody stand there for you. And so I'm grateful for her. I don't know how I'd make it without her. I don't know how I did it so long single. And so I'm thankful for her and for my two kids who the Lord has allowed me to have. And so many of you I'm so grateful for. It would take all night to thank each one of you. And it's a privilege to be here. And teenagers as well, I know you're going to be at camp. Let the Lord work. It was at camp that I made a decision to surrender my life to the Lord. You'll never regret it. And you may think, you may have some plans, but you can't compare to the plan that the Lord has for you. So seek counsel from your parents, seek counsel from your pastor, the shepherd that who the Lord has put here. And you can't go wrong. There is no such thing as giving up your dream. Your dream can't compare to the dream that the Lord has for you. He has a purpose for every single one of our lives. I'd like to, if we could turn to the book of Acts, please. And I'll have you stay seated there. We're in Acts chapter 20 tonight. Pastor gave me about 2 hours. Is that what you said, Pastor? About 2 hours. So we'll do our best to keep it there. So Acts chapter 20, please. We're going to be reading about 6 verses here. Verse 7 through 12. 7 through 12. We'll be seeing lots of scriptures. Brother Oxendine once taught us in college, it's good to see scripture, especially on a Wednesday night Bible study service, correct? And so we'll read here, verse 7 through 12. If we could read that together, our church is the best when it comes to reading together. If we could read that all together, that would be great. Starting in verse 7, ready, begin. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity you've given me to preach your word, teach it, Lord. And I pray now, Lord, you give me the correct words. May I not stutter, may I not stammer, Lord. Give me every word that I should speak. Help me not to say anything I should not say. Heavenly Father, would you speak to each one of our hearts, each one of the individuals that are here, just as you've taught me through this through this lesson, Lord. We love you so much in your son's precious name. Amen. You know, throughout the Bible, we see lots of stories. If you could choose one of the events in the Bible to go back, have you ever thought of that before? There's been occasions where I've just sat down or kind of had this conversation with many individuals, say, if you could see one miracle, or if you could go back and see one event in the Bible, what would it be? There's lots of really interesting events, Bible stories, you know. We know of Daniel and the lion's den, right? We know of Noah and the ark. We know the parting of the Red Sea. Lots of great miracles, lots of stories, lots of illustrations and stories that we've heard, whether it's in Sunday school or whatever it is. But then we have some of the more, I don't want to say the word random, but kind of like the stories that don't last very long and we don't know that much about them. For example, a really unique story was, you remember that? I believe it's in 2 Kings. Remember when they're chopping some wood and one of the guys, he loses the axe head. He loses the axe head in the water. And so he cries. The Bible says that he cries. He says, oh no, what am I going to do? This was borrowed. Yeah. And so the man of God, Elisha, comes by and says, where did it fall? Where did it fall? And he shows him, and he cuts a stick and he throws it in. And what happens to that axe head? The Bible says it swims up. It comes up. What a unique story. And sometimes we always wonder, it's like, wait, wow, all these interesting stories in the Bible, it's like, why is it there? Why is it there? And we know that everything in the scriptures is important. And just these little details, the Lord throws it in just because he can. And just because it did happen, and because it's to show the power of God through Elisha. And there's another one. Remember the writing on the wall? How interesting must that have been to have actually been able to witness that? How about the donkey? You remember that, Balaam's donkey? Out of everything. Can you imagine a pet speaking to you or an animal speaking to you? We don't necessarily, if somebody were to come up and tell you that today, you probably wouldn't believe them, right? But this happened, and we see that the donkey spoke to Balaam. In short, just those different types of example stories that we read about in the Bible. This is one of those where it's really short. We don't know a whole lot about it, but we know that it's in there to help us. And so tonight, I would like to kind of dig in a little bit deeper with this short story, this story from the Bible about Eutychus. I was thinking of different titles of how to title this, and you know, typically you don't want to spend too much time on the title. It's like, you know, how should I say this? Eutychus has fallen, what's going on? The preacher preached too long, and we won't do that tonight. But what could we possibly learn? What could we possibly call this? There's different things I'd like to take a look at in this verse, in these verses to follow. Let's start with verse 7 if we could. Verse 7 says the following, and upon the first day of the week. You know, that's important. We could pause right there, upon the first day of the week. How important is it for us to be here on Sunday? Can I just stop there, go on a little rabbit trail here? I'm so glad we come to a church. Our pastor believes in Sunday school. He believes in Sunday morning service. He believes in the nighttime service, right? And he's right. There are a lot of churches, a lot of places that are not open on Sunday. I'm glad that we have a pastor, a leader here, a man of God who God has put here to help us see, and not just see the future, but also do something about it. I'm glad we have a pastor that has a vision, and we're not just sitting back. You know, it's always a go, 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 but I'd rather go, go, go than stop, 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 and stay here and not do anything. I'm glad we're building. Thank you, Pastor. I'm glad that the people of God are rallying behind it. I'm glad that the people of North Valley Baptist Church, many, many good Christians, are, even during COVID, would not wave the white flag. I'm glad we have a church like that. What are we doing with our first fruits? We could kind of go on a long trail here. What are we doing with that first? I'd like to see three first here on this verse 7. I'm going to go read different scripture, portion of the scripture here. But the verse 7 says, in the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. That's good. Anytime, you know, they had to be Baptists, right? There was bread there. There's food. All right, so verse 7, break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Can you imagine that? Until midnight. I grew up in a Spanish church. And in the Spanish culture, in the Spanish churches, I'm looking over here at Brother Romero, he knows what I'm talking about. It will go a little bit longer than normal. It will go a little bit longer than normal. And that's kind of what I was kind of picturing here. It's like Paul's continued to preach even into midnight, all the way to midnight. Growing up at our church, we would have New Year's Eve services. And we would start at 6 p.m. Good memories here. We'd start at 6 p.m. We'd have a marathon of preachers. Now, each preacher lasted about 15 to 20 minutes. But as a kid, you're like, oh. And so we're there. It was great. Now I look back, it's wonderful. Good memories. We had a good time. My dad, the pastor, he did an incredible job kind of lining up everybody. He would have youth, teenagers preach, short message, different members, deacons, himself. And each one would last about 15 to 20 minutes. And the goal was to get all the way to midnight, to preach all the way to midnight, and then we would pray together as a church. We'd have about three preachers, then we would go eat, and then we'd come back, and then have some Bible games, maybe some Bible trivia, and then there would be another three or four preachers. After that, we would go and have some, what we would call menudo. It's a very, very, very famous, Escudo Martin, it's a very famous Spanish dish, right? And so he would line all that up, but I remember going all the way till midnight. And so when I read this verse, that's exactly where my mind goes. Such a good memory. But here we can have an idea what's going on. The first thing, a couple of things underneath I can see, our first fruits are very important. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, to save some time, we won't go there. But the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. The first fruits. So important. Not the second fruits, not the third, not the crumbs, but our first. Give your best to the Lord. And that's part of the reason why we meet on Sunday, because we're giving our first, the first day of the week. We are giving our first fruits to the Lord. The Bible also says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Are you here today and wondering? Sometimes I'll ask myself, everybody, we all have to ask ourselves this question. So why are my barns not being filled? Why do I feel like I'm lacking a little bit? It's not because it's God's fault. It's not because God's dried up the well. It's probably on my fault. The Bible tells us, says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto thee. You have to take that first step. Are you giving God your first fruits? Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says, honor. It's interesting because both of these verses start with the word honor. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And I like this part because if it finished there, that'd be one thing. But it says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I want to live long. I don't know about you. I want to have a good life. I want to live long. But wouldn't it be miserable of me to live a long life and live miserably? I'd rather live short, a shorter life and do something for the Lord than live a long life and not do anything for the Lord. What is the first fruits that you are giving to the Lord? Is the Lord sitting on the throne of your heart? Or is something else sitting on the throne of your heart? Is money sitting on the throne of your heart? Is something else? Is maybe a job? Whatever it is. When I was younger, I'll be honest with you, what sat on the throne of my heart was entertainment. All right, back then we had the Super Nintendo. We had all these different game consoles. But you have to be able to come to the point where you say, Lord, I'm going to give you the first fruits. I'm going to give you the throne of my heart. I want you to sit on that throne. And thirdly, I see in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything that we have is from God. Everything, our family, our health. You know, I was thinking about this. I may have mentioned this before, maybe in one of our classes, the classes in college. But I was really thinking about this past Thanksgiving about the little things. Some things that we don't necessarily take, paid too much attention to, such as maybe a roof above our heads or maybe just something small. It's like, oh, I'm thankful for this fork. It's a fork, right? But it's something little. It's something that I have. I got to go to Mexico last year, and we were visiting a family there. And I noticed that after each meal, after we ate, they would literally take those styrofoam cups. Now, typically for styrofoam, what do? You throw it away as soon as you're done. But these individuals would take these styrofoam cups and they take it to the back, scrub it, rinse it, and then we would use that same thing at night. And it was very humbling. It's like, Lord, like they're cherishing these things, and yet we have these things and we don't necessarily cherish them. We don't necessarily recognize it. We don't necessarily give our first fruits. Oh, what a shame it is if we don't give the first fruits to the Lord. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first day of the week. I like that in verse 7. Let's take a look at verse 8. It's just starting to get good. You know, in Bible college, I didn't have that opportunity. I wish if I could go back, I would take some sort of preaching class. I I really wish I could have done that or sit in Brother Oxendine's class. But we're going to stick with some of the S's today. In verse 8, I want us to see that there were many lights. Let's read verse 8 together if we could. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Whoa. All right, this is interesting. We're kind of getting a feel for what's going on here. Well, one, there was many lights, right? They were gathered together. I wonder why there were so many lights. And what was this upper chamber? Typically, an upper chamber was above the ground floor. Now, historians tell us that it was usually around the second floor, and it was usually typically used for meetings, for prayer back then. And in Acts chapter 1, the Bible tells us after the ascension of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the disciples, they met, they continued accord, praying and supplication in the upper chamber with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. It was typically used for that. And so I'll tell you why I feel like it was the second story. In this story, we know that there was at least three, at least in this story here. But we see that they went into upper chamber and there was lots of lights. What I'd like just to say is that somebody turned on the lights. Somebody had to turn on these lights. And you know, what does this have to do with us, Brother Melvon? What does this have to do with us? Well, we hear the song, Let Your Light So Shine Before Men, right? Or This Little Light of Mine. I'm not going to sing like Brother Oxen. I can't sing like that. But somebody turned on the lights. Well, how is our light? How is our candle? Are we an example to those at work? Brother Galvan, I'm on staff here. How can I be a light to those that are that I work with? You can have a good testimony. You know, it'd be a shame if I stood here behind this pulpit and somebody that I work with in the back of their mind are saying, man, that guy's a hypocrite. That guy does this. Oh, this guy this. This guy this. That would be a shame. I'd feel bad. I don't want that to be of me. I don't want that to be said of me. And our testimony is very, very important because somebody is watching you. Amen. And in this story, I don't want to jump the gun, but somebody had to be paying attention to what was going on in this upper chamber. Amen. Somebody was paying attention to what was going on in this room, to this meeting, as Paul is preaching to the disciples. There were many lights above. There are many reasons why it may have been on. Why were there so many lights? Maybe it was to be easier to see. Maybe so they could read. It could have been on purpose to let others know that maybe something good was going on there. Maybe that was the reason. We don't necessarily know exactly why. The Bible doesn't necessarily tell us. But we know that there was lots of lights. Let your light so shine before men. You know what else I see in verse 9? Let's read verse 9 together. Here we go. Begin. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third law and was taken up dead. I have a question. Now, in my carnal mind, I'm thinking, what was he doing sitting on the window? What were you doing near the window? I am not good with heights. Anybody here not good with heights? I do not do well with heights at all. Now, in our dormitories, we have a third floor. I remember when I was in college, I had the opportunity and the privilege to live on the third floor, but way on the other side. So every morning, I had to not only walk about a mile, but I also had to climb down a staircase each day. And I enjoyed it. I loved it. It was a good time. But this guy was on the third floor window. We never encourage that, right? What were you doing there, Eutychus? What were you doing there? And we see here that Eutychus was sitting at that window, verse 9. He sat in a window, a certain young man named Eutychus. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It's something a younger individual would do. In high school, I remember doing a lot of questionable things. It's like, why would you do that? Like, why would you do that? Or like, why this? Why this? Why this and that and that? But you know, there's different things that even as adults, we can sometimes, we may not necessarily do it on purpose, but we don't necessarily think. Your actions are very important. Think about what you're doing. And so Eutychus was sitting on this third loft. You know, I can imagine maybe it was something really good that was going on in that chamber, in that room where the lights were on. What was going on in that room? What was Eutychus so impressed by? What was he listening to? Somewhere in there, Eutychus falls asleep into a deep sleep. You ever had one of those dreams? Well, not necessarily a dream, but you're falling asleep, and all of a sudden you feel like you're going to fall and you jerk real quick. You know, that's kind of what I imagine may have happened, but in this time, it was for real. He actually did fall. So down went Eutychus. Down went Eutychus. You know, if we're not careful, we too can sleep in the Christian life. If we're not careful, sometimes we can let our guard down. The Bible says that the devil's as a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. As young people, youth that are going to camp, be vigilant. Be aware that the devil is your adversary, that he is looking to devour you. He doesn't want you to go to camp. Maybe you're on the fence. It's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know why I'm saying this, but maybe it is. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's something in the youth. Maybe it's some one of us, something in our lives where maybe we're letting our guard down. Maybe we're not careful with Brother Fanera did a great job in his message this past week. Maybe it's something like he mentioned. Maybe it's something that we're being careless with, something that we're not taking into consideration or thinking about our testimony, something that could potentially be a stumbling block or something the devil could use to take you down. What we do know is that Eutychus went down. So down went Eutychus. Now, if the story ended here, that'd be so tragic. We wouldn't know what was happening. But I love that the story continues. Verse 10. Can we look at verse 10, please? By the way, I'll just add this. When you fall, seek help. Don't just stay down. Amen. And for those maybe that are struggling spiritually, if you know of someone, it's important that you give a helping hand. It's important that we are an encouragement to those that are struggling spiritually. You know, we pray a lot about those that are physically sick. But have you taken time to pray for those that are spiritually sick? Have you taken time to reach out to them and help them instead of talking about maybe just forgetting, oh, so-and-so, I'll let them do their own thing? What are we doing to help them? You know, a couple weeks ago, I was moving a piano for a family. And I couldn't do it by myself. And so I asked my brother to go with me, and he helped me. And as we were going, it was more in the evening. We had work in the morning, so I needed to be here. But I was driving, and we were driving, and I said, you know what? You have to be to work early tomorrow. I need to be at work early tomorrow as well. Why don't you drive up, and I'll sleep? And then on our way back, I'll drive, and you sleep. Well, I got in the car with him, and I couldn't fall asleep. He was taking all these nice fast turns, and you know, not he was being safe, but at the same time we were going through some windy roads and I just couldn't sleep. And so on our way back, I was like, oh man, I didn't get to sleep at all. Couldn't do anything. On my way back, I'm driving. By this time, it's pretty late, and so I'm trying to stay awake, and we're about an hour away now back from home, and so going, 45 minutes, you ever experience that when you're driving and you're just really like nodding off? It's like, whoa. But about 30 minutes away from home, like it just is like the Lord's like, switch. Wake him up, tell him to switch you. And so I was like, okay, I mean, we're almost home. Can I just like, I can do this. But then the Lord started bringing different things to my mind. You have a family. You have this. Pastor's gonna kill you. Oh, well, I guess you won't have to worry about that. But you know, you need to do this, and this. And so the Lord started bringing all these things in my mind. And so I had to. I woke up my brother. I was like, look, I'm so sorry. We're about like 29 minutes away from home, but I cannot go any farther. He's like, oh, that's okay. I was like, are you sure? I'll pay you an extra dollar or something. You know? So he helped me. But it had to get me to the place where I had to realize, you know what? I need help. Switch me. Please, just switch me. I have to do this. And I was out. I was like Eutychus here. All right, so I was out. Sometimes you have to ask for help. Verse 10. Let's look at verse 10. Before we read this, we just saw in verse 9, Eutychus went down. Verse 10 says this, and Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. You know, this is interesting. I try to dissect this verse as much as possible. Of course, we don't want to add a scripture, and so I'm trying to picture, oh, what if? What could happen? What do you think happened here? Like, you read a verse, and it's like, oh, it doesn't say this happened, but I wonder if this could have happened, that type of thing. And so while I was reading this verse, I noticed that through Paul, God works. God works. God works mightily. And it's interesting because verse 10 says, and Paul went down. This is the other reason how we know that it wasn't necessarily on the first floor, that Paul had to go down, right? So Eutychus is on the third loft here, and he falls, he goes down, and down comes Paul. So Down went Eutychus, but also Paul came down. Isn't that a blessing? Though you may go down, the Lord is willing to come down and save you and help you. Now, through Paul, God saved Eutychus. But aren't you glad that one day the Lord came and reached down his hand and saved you and brought you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock? And now you have this joy that's unreplaceable, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Through Paul, God works. Interesting here as well. The Bible says that Paul came down and that he fell on him and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And I was thinking about this. And one thing, when I worked at the nursing home, one thing they had told us, they had informed us, they said, "While you're working here, if one of the residents fall, do not try to touch them. Do not try to help them. You might make it worse." So in my mind, as I'm reading this, I'm reading that Paul went down and like fell on him and like embraced him. In my mind, my way of thinking, I was thinking, uh-oh, I don't know if this is, like, it doesn't make sense. If anybody's in the medical fields, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Correct me afterwards if I'm wrong. But you're not supposed to, in my mind, you're not supposed to touch him. He went down. It's like, you don't want to make the situation worse. But the Bible says here that, and Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." That's interesting. I would, if I would have noticed, somebody, obviously Paul noticed, right? And he went down. Can you imagine? The Bible doesn't necessarily say that the disciples went down as well, but can you imagine the disciples looking out that window and seeing everything that just transpired, everything that just happened? It's like if you had seen somebody fall or saw somebody on the pavement, somebody that had fallen three stories from the third loft, wouldn't you be troubled also? I would be troubled. Yeah, I tell you what, if I was tired, I wouldn't be tired anymore. And so that's what's going on here. And so through Paul, we're about to see that God is going to work. You know what else I notice about this verse? And even though it might sound like, "Are you sure?" It's still an interesting thought. Eutychus was in the right place. Eutychus was in the right place. Now, am I saying that Eutychus was like, was it right that he was in the window? Okay, maybe not. But he was in the area to where Paul could help him. You know, sometimes when we're struggling, sometimes when we're battling or fighting, we tend to veer. We tend to veer off from the faith. We tend to veer away from church. We tend to, you know what? I'm lacking money. I'm short on my bills. I need to maybe work overtime. But this overtime is going to make me go and miss a Wednesday evening or miss Sunday, whatever it is. I won't be able to go to men's prayer. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to work in my, or help. I won't be able to go to camp. I won't be able to do this. And you can put in the excuse there. But is there something that's adrift, making you drift away to where you can't get help? Sometimes we think if we, we work harder, we work longer hours, you know, it's going to be better. The Lord's going to be able to bless. But the Lord can't help us. The best place to get spiritual help is right here in God's house. To come and not forsaking the assembly. God wants to work a miracle, but he can't work through Paul if Eutychus is not in the right spot. Through Paul, God works. Eutychus went down, but Paul also came down, and God through him worked a miracle. Verse 11. So someone left the light. Someone turned on the lights. Somebody must have seen the lights. Number next. Somebody's got to keep things going. Verse 11. Verse 11 is interesting here. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. That's interesting. Now, imagine this. The preaching's going on. Remember, the Bible says that went on till midnight, and now this accident has occurred. Well, what's going on here? At the end of the verse, the Bible says that it went even until dawn. They came back, break bread, and they talked some more. I guarantee you, I would be talking too if we just witnessed a miracle. Yeah, we witnessed a miracle, and all of a sudden, yeah, guess what? I'm no longer tired. You know, it's interesting, even during COVID, and we saw it, pastors saw it, many of us saw it, there was many of church members, even people that didn't necessarily go here. We would see them kneeling outside our auditorium praying. It didn't matter. One time we were coming over here, had to pick up a computer, and there was a member kneeling at the stairs, right there in front of the auditorium. It wasn't during work hours. There was no church. It wasn't on a Sunday. It wasn't on a Wednesday. They were coming here to seek and beg God. How bad do you want God? How bad do I want God? Even till the break of day. We just witnessed a guy basically die. And we're still here. Paul is breaking the bread. We're talking. He's continuing to talk even till the break of day. You know, you may fall, but I love this verse because even though Eutychus went down, God is able to revive. God is able to bring you back to life. I'm glad we serve a God of second chances. I'm glad though I may fail and though we may fail, God is always there and he's not going to leave us. There are consequences, but God in his mercy and his love, he is willing to take us. And as 1 John says, that he is just and he is willing to forgive us our sins. Lastly, verse 12. So we see somebody turned on the lights. Somebody saw those lights. Somebody fell. Somebody was revived. Somebody had to keep the ministry going. It had to keep going. But lastly, someday all will be well. Verse 12. Sometime, someday, it will be well. Verse 12 says, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I like that. They brought him alive. It's like, hey, Eutychus, he's alive. Eutychus went down, but Eutychus is back and alive and well. Through Paul, God worked. Amen. Amen. Sometimes God, now we know that the Lord can do anything he wants. But sometimes it may be through you, where he uses you to bring a coworker, or bring somebody to the feet of the Lord. Maybe it's somebody here today that maybe you're here because of somebody else, somebody who God used to bring you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, I like that last part of verse 12. It says, and we're not a little comforted. Well, duh, right? I mean, if this happened, if I saw something of this magnitude happen, I would be really encouraged. I literally witnessed this, and we just saw God work in a miraculous way. God worked in an incredible way. It's an incredible way also because we see here in verse 12, and they brought the young man alive. We brought him alive when he was already dead, when he fell. You know, I'm reminded of John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Could we turn, real quick, please, could we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, and we'll finish with this. Let's jump back. I know I said verse 18. Let's jump back a little bit. Verse 18 is great, but let's understand why it's so great. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When I went to Arizona, I got to go to Arizona for my vacation this past week, and my mom and I, we took some time to go down and see the marker, the gravesite of my grandma. I was very close to my grandparents, and both grandparents are buried there together. And so it's about an hour drive from our house there in Arizona. And so we drove out to Sierra Vista, and we get there to the marker, and we're just talking, you know, reminiscing and telling some stories. I'm pulling out my phone and showing my mom videos of grandma, different pranks we pulled on her when we were kids, and all these different things. We have lots of good memories. By the way, young people, enjoy your family, enjoy your grandparents, enjoy your mom and dad. You don't know how long you have them. But we were able to spend some time there at the marker and just talking, prayed as well. And I looked over to my mom and I said, you know what would be really weird? She's like, oh no, what? I was like, what if the rapture happened right now? What if the Lord came back right now? She's like, why would that be weird? Why would that be scary? I was like, well, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So would we see them? What would, like, and so we talked about it a little bit. She's like, oh yeah, maybe we should go. That type of thing. We had a good time. But be comforted with this. One of these days, it's all over. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more sorrow. What is causing fear in your hearts today? What is it? Maybe it's something little. It doesn't even have to be something big. Maybe it's just something small. Someone once said that the phrase fear not is mentioned 365 times. That's interesting because there's 365 days in the year. The Lord loves us so much. He doesn't want us to fear. Fear's not of God. Fear's not of God at all. He doesn't want us fearing anything, whether it's something little, something big. He's not given us the spirit of fear. He's not given it to us. He's giving us peace. He brings us that peace. Many times I think it was like, how? Imagine when something bad, when we lose a loved one, we have that peace. We know that they're with the Lord. If they've known that, if they accepted the Lord. And that peace that only He can, that only God can give, that passeth all understanding. Can you imagine how the lost deals with that? How can they cope with that without that hope? We have that hope. Be comforted. This evening, church, you're already the best. We're the cream of the crop here. But is there something in your life? Is there something in my life? Is there something I'm preaching to myself as well? Is there something in our life that we need to deal with tonight? Is there something, maybe it's a testimony. Maybe we're letting our guard down a little bit, whether it's at work or wherever. Maybe it's with our words. Maybe we don't intend to say anything that will hurt somebody, but we did. Maybe it's our first fruits. One of these things. Church, I hope this evening we can truly seek the Lord and ask Him, is everything okay? Is there nothing in between me and my Savior? That's the goal. We don't want anything in between here. We can't be at odds with each other, with our brothers, and say we're right with God. The Bible says that's not possible. What is it in our hearts that we need? What is it in our life that we need to get right with the Lord?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.